out on the road. I'm concerned with building relationships with the guys who are in-house, who are on campus, whether it is from a recruiting standpoint or are at school right now, and I worry about their development.
Letting me know up front that even though that this is my title, this is not what I'm going to be. Just because I'm the volunteer, you know, still sees me as full-time paid coach. You know, we still get after it.
You're dialed in to the ABCA's Calls from the Clubhouse podcast, connecting our coaches with some of the best baseball minds in our game. Now here's your host, Jeremy Schiedinger.
We are broadcasting live from the ABCA National Office here in Greensboro, North Carolina, bringing our Calls from the Clubhouse podcast back into your earbuds, the speakers in your car or at the office. And we appreciate each of you guys listening in for this certified audio gold, and this episode will not disappoint. Helping us do that for you guys are our great friends over at AstroTurf, a company that's been ahead of the curve for over 50 years. And we're proud to have AstroTurf as the sponsor of this podcast. And these guys are the leaders in the turf industry. They're transforming fields all over the country, helping take facilities and programs to brand new levels. So again, thanks again to the crew over at AstroTurf for their help in bringing our podcast to our coaches. Now with today's episode, we're diving into a special interest piece, and we're exploring the volunteer assistant position within our coaching staffs and the dynamics surrounding this title and this position. And for most staffs, this is a non-university sponsored position. There's no monies from the schools themselves, there's no health benefits. And in terms of commitment, these positions are far more than certainly just volunteering their time. There are high expectations placed on these coaches, and the volunteer assistants are playing large roles within these baseball programs. They oversee on-campus recruitment efforts, taking on very important coaching responsibilities on the field. There's a whole lot more to this than just simply the volunteer title. So to help us unpack this position, we've got Derek Simmons from the University of Alabama. We've got Dylan Lawson from the University of Missouri. And the interesting piece here is this. If you needed further insight into how important these jobs are, both of these young men walked away from tremendous full-time paid positions to take volunteer assistant positions at the schools they're at. Derek left behind a full-time recruiting coordinator position at Kennesaw State University, has a couple of Atlantic Sun championships, regional appearance, and what he described is leaving behind one of the best teams they had built there at Kennesaw to move to Tuscaloosa, where Dylan had success in a couple of Ohio Valley championships at Southeast Missouri State, but he was recently hired as the Houston Astros single-A hitting coach, left all that to come be the volunteer at Missouri. So what will come, and you'll hear in this interview, is that these guys are making vertical moves. Might be a demotion in title or pay or benefits, but it has certainly been vertical leaps in exposure and opportunity. And the beauty of the volunteer assistant position is breaking in, building a name and a reputation for yourself, helping build programs, supporting the staffs that are around you. It's awesome stuff. We're excited about this interview. So let's not delay it any longer, coach. Let's dive right into the life of the volunteer assistant coach with Derek Simmons from the University of Alabama and Dylan Lawson from the University of Missouri. And that tremendous info is coming at you right now. With today's episode, guys, we're going to dive into a very interesting role within most college baseball programs. We're talking about the volunteer assistant coach, and it can mean a lot of different things across a lot of levels, but we wanted to spend our time today talking with two fantastic baseball men. But what's really interesting about this conversation, these are two men that spent a great deal of time building mid-major Division I programs as recruiting coordinators, very successful, and they've taken a position within an upper-level Division I baseball program as the volunteer assistant. Now, what does that mean? What does that look like? How has their perspective changed? It's going to be a fantastic conversation, but we're sitting down with Derek Simmons, the assistant coach at the University of Alabama. Derek, thanks for being on the call with us.
Not a problem at all. Not a problem at all, Sheets. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. And we've also joined by another SEC friend, Dylan Lawson, assistant coach at the University of Missouri. Dylan, thanks for being on the call.
I appreciate you having me here, Sheets.
This is going to be fun. I'm excited about getting, obviously, two of my buddies on the call, but I think it's a really interesting concept for our coaches to dive into. I think the content on this is going to be really well received because we're going to bring some clarity to this position. So if we could, let's kick this off. I kind of gave you a little bit of an intro, but I really want to hear you guys expand upon your careers in baseball, which will again set us up for the rest of the conversation. So Derek, if you could, talk us through your career in baseball and what landed you to the spot there as the volunteer at Alabama.
Yeah, I actually started at Central Michigan after I got done playing pro ball. My coach at Georgia State, he actually coached up at Central Michigan. So, I was kind of looking for a career path, and volunteer spot happened to be open up there. So, I spent 2 years up there in 2011 and 2012. I was up there. It was very cold up there. I got to see different dynamics of, between the North and the South, and, how everything worked as far as practicing inside and everything like that. And then after that, I took a job at Kennesaw State as a volunteer, to kind of be closer to home. And about 3 weeks after I got hired, I ended up being the recruiting coordinator, because the recruiting coordinator, before me, he became a scout. So I was at Kennesaw for the last 4 years, from 2013 through 2016. And, here I am at Alabama. So, that's kind of my career path and how everything got started for me.
That's interesting. You've worn that volunteer tag a couple times.
I have. Good. And it is completely different from where I started to where I'm at right now.
Sure. I can't wait to hear what you are dealing with day to day there with the Tide. But Dylan, let's get to your career path, because it's a very interesting one as well. It's a unique dynamic and twist there at the end. But Dylan, going to your career path in baseball, what got you there with the Tigers of Coach Beezer in Missouri?
It's definitely been untraditional. I was not the best baseball player. Played Division III sports. When I got done with my playing career, obviously I wasn't good enough to play professional baseball, and went in, just thought I was going to be a strength coach, couldn't get away from baseball. So I found a nice GA position at Lindenwood University right outside of St. Louis. And at that time it was an NEI school, and I was able to get my master's, and I was a strength coach and also the recruiting coordinator there. And we were really successful there. And after 2 years, got into a position at Morehead State University back in the home state of Kentucky. And those guys' sheets there with Jay Sorg and Jason Neal, and had a chance to work there for 3 years. And then when Jay decided to get out of baseball, at least at the college level, it definitely it left me without a place. So luck would have it that I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. Met Steve Beezer for the first time in my life. Pretty much at the same time, he received a phone call stating that he would be the new head coach at Southeast Missouri State University, and eventually got an interview, and he offered me that position there. And so I was with Steve for 3.5 years, Southeast Missouri State, before I accepted a position as a minor league hitting coach with the Houston Astros. And this past year I spent some time in the New York Penn League. And then Steve got this job here at Mizzou. And so I knew that he wanted this job. He was hoping to have this job. And I was a little nervous about leaving SEMO, because me, my family, we were very happy. We were very successful at SEMO, working with Steve and Lance Rhodes, who's the recruiting coordinator here now. They're phenomenal people. So like, we were really, really happy. And so Steve eased my mind, saying he would give me a call if he got a position at a Power 5 school, and he definitely did. It was much quicker than anticipated, and I decided to join his staff here as the volunteer, which it's been an outstanding move.
That's great. And you guys know this, as tight as baseball circles run, and I'm very thankful to say you two are inside my circle as buddies, but as tight as we all run, I think on the surface, and I think it's very easy for your friends or people around you in the coaching world, guys you spent time with on the recruiting trails, to look at just a very basic move of going from being a recruiting coordinator, having the success, and both you guys, I've seen them have championship rings, I'm very jealous that you got them, and to go, well, you're taking a volunteer job. You're almost, in essence, taking a lateral if not, you know, downward move, when in actuality, I think you guys can expand on this, you've kind of taken a vertical move in a lot of regards. So Dylan, if you could stay on that a little bit, just in terms of the move or maybe some of the feedback you got from pals that you have out in coaching, but then again, the move that you're making in a strategic way.
It was a tough decision. I mean, it wasn't necessarily the easiest, even though when I took the job with the Astros, I took it with the intention that I would eventually get back into college baseball. I love, you know, the ability to have 2-3-4 year relationships as opposed to in pro ball having 1-3 month relationships. You know, if you're doing your job, you're getting guys promoted. And I love the idea of building a culture and also, you know, being a life coach as opposed to just purely being a baseball coach. So I wanted to get back into college ball, but I enjoyed pro ball more than I ever thought I would. And so the Astros treated me really well. Some phenomenal people there, some really, really smart guys that are way too smart to be in baseball. And it was just a great experience. But getting back into college baseball, I called basically everybody in my phone book. Anybody that had ever spent time in the SEC, was currently in the SEC, or people that were head coaches or guys that, you know, that I had relationships from being out on the road for however many years at the mid-major level, getting a bunch of opinions. And almost every single person said I'd be crazy not to take this position.
That's good.
They did, in their minds, they did not see it as a lateral move or a downward move. Power Five baseball, and now I know it's completely different. And it's a different world, and it's hard to believe that you're competing for the same trophy at the end of the year with as much stuff as we have here now. And honestly, we don't have as much as maybe even Alabama. We have some of our own limitations, but our limitations, they're nothing to really complain about. We have everything we could possibly want to be a successful team here, to compete for a national championship. And it's really, in our minds, it's only a matter of time that we're able to compete at that level.
Outstanding. Derek, same type question. When your buddies, we talked about this opportunity, why did you take it? What seemed to jump off the page to you that made sense as this being a vertical move for you in your career?
Well, pretty much the same boat goes for me. You know, I talked to a lot of people, you know, a lot of people who I really trust, former coaches, former head coaches, you know, friends on the road, that I would see when I was out on the road recruiting. And, you know, a lot of them, I would say like 95% of them said, hey, you know, you got to take this job. You know, you have to do it. And when Coach Goff got hired, he had me come over. And once I saw the campus and, you know, I saw the stadium and everything that goes on with the University of Alabama, it was a no-brainer for me. You know, I did have some hesitation, only because, you know, the relationships that I had with all of my players over at Kennesaw State, that was really tough for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like this year's team would be a really good team. You know, we had just won conference. We still had a couple guys on our super regional team. So, you know, I think that was the toughest thing for me, was leaving a team who I thought was going to have a successful season this year. But, you know, after talking to my friends and, you know, especially my wife, you know, I think that's probably why I took this position, only because I was out on the road recruiting, like, on a daily basis, like, gone all the time. You know, I never saw my two kids. You know, they're still at a young age, and you know, I see other kids, and, you know, they know how they are with their kids all the time, and, you know, I never got to see mine. So the fact that, you know, I am the volunteer here, and even though I don't go out on the road, I'm still involved heavily in recruiting, you know, when kids come to campus. But, you know, probably the reason why I decided to take this move is, you know, I get to go home to my wife and kids every day, you know, which is very important for me. And too, at the same time, I feel like this job has elevated my career.
I agree with that. I mean, at the end of the day, a big reason I ended up taking this position was because of my wife and my son. I have a 2-year-old son, and you know, when I was with the Astros, you know, I was in the short season with the short season team. So gone for 3 months, we can make that happen with, you know, visits. But you think about over the next 5 years, ideally, you know, if I was to get promoted there, then now that turns into, you know, 6 months. And so with my wife owning her own business and my son growing up, it's like, how many moves can I realistically ask them to make? And they, you know, my wife gets along really well with the other wives here, with Coach Beezer and Coach Rhodes' wives. Lance has young children as well. And so it was a great environment to get back to. And at the end of the day, I think it was the best move for everyone involved, me and the rest of my family.
You know, it's interesting. Both you guys talk about the decision of leaving and leaving behind great opportunities. Like Derek was mentioning, the team that they were building there at Kennesaw and the success they were coming off of, and Dylan taking a brand new opportunity inside professional baseball and where that goes. It's just interesting. If you've been there and you've job jumped and you've been in those situations, you really think about what you're leaving behind. But certainly you guys feel like you've walked into tremendous opportunities there, part of brand new staffs in the Southeastern Conference. And I think, Derek, you alluded to it just a little bit, and I want to dive a little more into this, is exactly what this volunteer assistant means. And what's been really great about our shows the last few weeks, we've had some guys on that have talked about the evolution of this position, where back in the 80s and 90s, the restricted earnings coach, and then it finally settled on 11.7, the two paid assistants and this volunteer assistant coach. And I think when people, guys, they see the word volunteer, they think show up when you can, you know, coach when you want to, but that couldn't be any further from the truth of what a typical day looks like for either one of you guys, I'm certain. So Derek, if you could kick that off a little bit, talk about the volunteer position and what a typical day in your world looks like, so people have a clearer picture of what it's like to be in your shoes.
Yeah. For sure. I think that, you know, what's great where I'm at right now is that Coach Goff considers me as, like, you know, a paid assistant, as far as, you know, having me involved in pretty much every aspect of the program. You know, he's been awesome about that, whether that's recruiting, you know, when kids are on campus. And then, too, a lot of times in the fall, you know, our other two assistants, they were on the road recruiting. So it was just me and Coach Goff with, you know, with our team, and you know, we ran practice. So typically my day, you know, I usually am in the office by 8 a.m. We have meetings at 9 o'clock. And then from there, you know, I'm pretty much preparing for practice, looking at swings and video, you know, from the previous day. And then I'll head over to the field like around noon or so, you know, get ready for practice, you know, get everything set up, you know, with our managers and our other guys that are there. And then we'll start practice around 2. We'll get done around about 5. Then workouts are around like 6 o'clock. And usually I go back to the office, you know, just kind of, you know, do some odds and ends things and, you know, try to get ready for the next day. But, you know, the volunteer role here and I'm sure over at Missouri, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. But at the same time, you know, I'm very fortunate for the position that I'm in. And you know, I want to thank Coach Goff for that, because he's been unbelievable to me.
That's great. And Dylan, same question. If we break down a typical day for you there in the office at Missouri, what's the volunteer spot look like for you on a daily basis?
Well, I mean, first, I have to imagine it's the same thing at Alabama. The volunteer job here, or in any of the SEC Power Five probably programs, are dramatically different than what a volunteer job at Southeast Missouri State is. You know, at Southeast, like, you're literally making zero to a couple thousand dollars. There's and that's through the, you know, camps and whatever. If you are able to get a side job and stock some, you know, grocery store shelves in the middle of the night, then okay, you can do that. But that, I mean, that's tough because you still, at a successful program, you're asked to be in the office just like every other coach. And that's not, luckily, that's not the situation here. You know, I'm not, you know, me and my family are in a great situation from that standpoint. But, you know, I guess a daily schedule for me, I get in the office around 6:30, do whether it's some reading or research or reaching out to some people that I feel like I could learn some things from. That typically happens within like my first, the first hour of my day. And then not baseball related, I go and I get a workout in and come back. We've got our meeting at 9 a.m. as well. And so we sit in there and we discuss everything from depth charts to practice plans to recruiting, or, you know, everything that goes into the program. And we discuss that daily. And then afterwards, it's a matter of, you know, finalizing plans for practice. I run the offense here. So being able to schedule what's going to go on and what our offensive development is going to be for that day, what our focus is going to be. And so getting that ready, grab something, you know, a bite to eat, and then get out to the field, get it prepared, set up for any type of early work you might have, or simply just getting it ready for when the players get there and ready to go. You know, we usually try to keep practice under 2.5 hours. And then after that, you know, you reevaluate practice, make some notes, and then move on, get home. I'm lucky I get home for dinner every night. And so I can be, you know, I'm very lucky from that standpoint to be able to have that time with my family at night. Very happy about that.
And let's be clear here for our listeners, guys. We're sitting here talking with Derek Simmons from the University of Alabama. We're talking with Dylan Lawson from the University of Missouri. This volunteer position, you know, just to be, you know, very clear on what it is not a paid position through the university. So there aren't any benefits. This is a non-benefited position. This is a non-paycheck position. This is generally a position where this coach spends a majority of his time dealing with camp and being very concerned about on-campus recruiting, playing a large role in the campus tours of visits, unofficial officials. If you guys could kind of talk through your staff responsibility. So obviously what you're coaching, as Dylan mentioned, coaching the hitters there at Missouri, but the staff dynamics that were within your position, but also kind of, you know, again, outside the scope of practice in the season, what you're really spending your time working on for the staff. And Derek, if you could kick us off on that one.
Yeah. So what I do is I coach the infielders, and then I assist Coach Wells with the hitters. You know, we kind of tag team the offense. So that's my responsibilities, and also on campus recruiting. Even though I'm not on the road, recruiting is by far what I love the most about my job and everything that I do, you know. So I'm still heavily involved in the recruiting. Once kids show up, pretty much what happens is our other two assistants, they'll go out on the road recruiting, and, you know, I set up all the on-campus tours and visits. And so, you know, I love that. You know, I love that I'm still involved in the recruiting process. You know, because that's really what I love so much about this job is the relationships. And, you know, I love the hitting part too, but, you know, the recruiting part is what gets me going in the morning. So, you know, pretty much our other assistant, Terry Rooney, he handles the pitchers and the recruiting as well. And then Coach Wells, he'll handle the catchers and then the hitters with me. And then he's also on the road recruiting. So, you know, we have a really good staff, you know, really good dynamic. Everybody, you know, can recruit. And I think at our level, that's probably the biggest thing. You know, you got to get the players. You know, if you have good players, you make good coaches. So, so, you know, recruiting for us is huge. And, you know, I thought I did a really good job where I was at before. But at the same time, my goal is that I want to win a national championship. And you know, I feel I can do that here. So, you know, that's kind of our staff and, you know, the breakdown of us over here at Alabama.
Love it. All right, Dylan, same question, man. Break that down for us.
It's very similar. So we all have different roles. I coach the offense, you know, from a day-to-day standpoint. I put together what the hitters are going to do, set the priorities. Obviously, I'm doing this under Coach Beezer's umbrella, where, you know, it's I'm not just running amok here. We've got our priorities. We operate within the system, but I get to do it mostly as I see fit, which is awesome, and love the fact that Steve's not a micromanager, and he's really supportive in us trying some new things, which we've had a lot of success with, from the pitch recognition to developing play discipline and guys' swings, and which was a big thing that I learned at the professional level. But get to coach third base in the game, do all the on-campus recruiting as well. So Lance and Pat Hallmark, who joined the staff from Rice, they're always on the road when they're able to. So what they do is they go and they find some players and they'll spend time talking with them and then set up, you know, the visits on campus. And I'll run that. Steve will be here as well. But get to spend all that time for, you know, with those guys while they're on campus for the weekend. And that's awesome. I mean, I love the development part of it. But I really miss recruiting as well. Mm-hmm. And I like being out on the road. I like the puzzle pieces, trying to put the whole puzzle together with this recruit and that recruit, and trying to convince guys that, you know, that this is the place that they should be, being able to build those relationships and have them trust you. I definitely miss, you know, all of that, at least from, you know, how much you really get when that's your primary responsibility. But I think my ideal position would be development first, but really still be able to play a huge role in recruiting. I think it's similar to, Pat's role here, where he's pitching coach first and then also helps Lance with recruiting. I mean, he's gone just about every weekend, but he's not going to miss anything in order to go see the next guy when we have guys here that we need to be loyal to. So it's different. You know, we're a northern school, and we basically got to prioritize things maybe a little bit differently than we would if we were in a more southern climate. But we are who we are, and you know, our limitations can be either our greatest weakness or our greatest strength. And we choose to see it from a different perspective. And I think that's ultimately why we're all here, because we all share the same vision that this can be. And just like the guys at Alabama, they believe the same thing, that we can compete. We can build a program that can compete for a national championship.
It's so cool to hear again, two guys that have spent a lot of time on the road, to reflect back of maybe this is one of the things that really scratches that itch, is still being involved in recruiting. And again, just to clarify for coaches that are listening in, these volunteer coaches are not allowed to go out on the road and go see these guys. They're not heading out to tournaments. They're not making phone calls. They're getting these guys on campus. They're getting them when they show up on the visit and taking them around on the campus tour, getting to know the families in that moment. And really facilitating on campus only. So it's really cool to hear two guys that have spent a lot of time in that realm really getting the back scratched from being able to at least feel like you've got your hand in the recruiting side, which is really neat. I think the position, I'm sure you view differently. And Dylan, I'll let you kick this off. I think if you're now in this role, and again, living as a recruiter, as a paid assistant in the last spots you guys were at, you looked at this position maybe a little bit different, depending on the dynamic within your staff and your situation, but you know, the volunteer spot and now living in it, and that's who you are. How has your perspective changed on this position, Dylan?
Mentally. I mean, it's you just can't possibly know until you get on the other side. It's the same, kind of the same thing with, you know, being at SEMO or at Morehead State and knowing that you know, you have these power conference schools, and yeah, they've got some things that are better. But you just don't know how much better it is. It's hard to even fathom how much better it is. And it's, you know, and obviously growing up in Kentucky and our relationship starting when you were at the University of Kentucky and mm-hmm. with Vore and, you know, those, that was my first, I guess, understanding of the volunteer role. But
right.
never did I know the depth of it until really getting into it. And so I think, you know, I think your head coach plays a big role in it and how much responsibility he's willing to give you. Here, I'm very lucky that I get all the responsibility that I had as a full-time assistant at Southeast Missouri State, except I don't have a rental car and I'm not on the road. I mean, yeah. everything else is exactly the same. And, I mean, honestly, it's a lot like my pro job where all I'm, you know, I don't go out on the road. I'm concerned with building relationships with the guys who are in-house, who are on, you know, I guess on campus, whether it is from a recruiting standpoint or are at school right now. And I worry about their development. And so it's a great blending of my two previous positions, and, you know, that allow me to be a coach, which obviously I love. And I think it's at a level where I can achieve some pretty, pretty exciting things.
That's exactly dead on. I could see that parallel coming as you were talking. Derek, same question. Again, you've been a volunteer at a couple different spots, but obviously moving into the SEC and there at Alabama, how is your perspective on this position? How's that changed for you as you've moved into that spot?
Well, you know, Coach Goff did a great job with me and, you know, letting me know up front that even though that this is my title, this is not what I'm going to be. So, mm-hmm. you know, just because I'm the volunteer, you know, he still sees me as, you know, a regular full-time paid coach, you know, and, you know, we still get after it. So, you know, I was lucky to have Steve Jaska at Central Michigan. And, you know, I was 23 years old and, you know, I thought coaching in college was just that, you know, you show up to the field for practice and then you go home. So, you know, he made it clear that that's not what happens. And, you know, I was in the office every day at 7 a.m. after my first day, after I showed up around, I don't know, noon or so. And, you know, he made it very clear that, you know, this is how we do things around here. This is everything that goes involved in coaching. So, you know, when I was up at Central Michigan, I coached third base. You know, I was able to do a little bit of recruiting on campus and, you know, I handled all the hitters and, you know, ran the offense. So, you know, by me going up there, I was able to gain experience and see what, you know, the volunteer role was like. And for the most part, you know, I can do everything. I just can't go on the road recruiting, you know? So as far as the, like, how I view the role, you know, I view the role as, you know, just like one of the other guys, one of the other assistant coaches, and you know, our players see that as well. And, you know, they all know that I'm going to be here every day. So if they ever want to see any swings or video, you know, they know who to call. And, you know, Coach Wells has done a great job with the hitters and you know, just going out on the road recruiting. But, you know, for me, I think that, you know, the role of the volunteer is he can do everything. He just can't, like, go on the road recruiting.
Go
ahead, Dylan.
Both Coach Goff and Coach Beezer really understand and you know, what it takes to rebuild both these programs. I mean, ultimately, sure. if either of us are going to be successful or both of us are going to be successful, you need guys who have been successful that know what it takes to build a program. And I'm not saying that building Southeast Missouri State is the perfect parallel example, but we've had experience, and you know, we did a good job of recruiting there. And Pat Hallmark was at Rice for the past 11 years, and he's, you know, did an outstanding job there. I think I think he said at one point, like, they won the second most games over the last 11 years that he's been there in the country. And so,
wow.
I mean, you've got a lot of experience on staff here, not to mention, you know, Evan Pratt, who brings basically 20 years of Mizzou baseball experience to our staff as a director of baseball operations. I mean, they really knew, and I mean, Coach Goff and Coach Beezer, if they were going to take this job, they needed guys, experienced guys, in the volunteer position, guys that they could count on, guys that, just like he said, could run a practice whenever the other guys were on the road recruiting. And I think they went out and they got, and I don't mean to be tooting my own horn, but I think they got some pretty good guys.
Well, sure. and Derek's over there coaching with Mr. Program Builder himself, Greg Goff.
No doubt.
And too, you know, having Jake Wells, who's been in the SEC before, who's an outstanding coach, and Terry Rooney as well, who's, you know, he's been a head coach at UCF. He's been at LSU, Notre Dame. So he, you know, he knows what it's like to win on a big stage. And, you know, Coach Goff and, you know, our staff, I think, is just, you know, it's unbelievable. You know, just the dynamic of our whole staff.
Appreciate you guys diving into that. Here's a question. It's maybe a little two-parter. I'm trying to formulate this in my mind the way I want it to come out. But I think if you're looking at each of you and knowing each of you personally, this becomes easy for me. Having each of you get in that position and maybe sit back in your office chair, you know, away from the keyboard and just sit back for a minute, kind of look around. I know your perspective on a couple of different fronts that we'll stay on has changed dramatically. Looking at things differently, obviously being around the guys that you're able to be around, the staff, the campus, the athletic departments that you're around now has really opened your eyes to a completely different way of approaching college baseball or college athletics, certainly. I think this, if you could, and Derek, I'll let you kick this off, if you could, okay, dive into two parts here. One, how has your perspective changed specifically when it comes to the team, recruiting side, dealing with players, that aspect, but also the game itself, because certainly a higher level of baseball will change the way you view the game and what's important. But if you could dive into those two aspects, I think you'd really come my way for our listeners with some nuggets of really good information.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think that my perspective, you know, has changed as far as, you know, recruiting is, you know, it is really fast nowadays, you know, mm-hmm. As far as, you know, the recruiting process and, you know, it's a rat race. So,
sure.
You know, I do think that recruiting is the heartbeat of every program. And, you know, I've learned so much from the other two assistants that we have on staff here, just as far as, you know, like the, you know, the detail as far as every single kid that comes to campus, like, you know, the golf carts being clean, like, you know, just the little things like that. So,
yep.
You know, I've learned so many things here. You know, the kids, our guys, you know, I had no idea everything that these guys get. You know, we have a players' lounge area, and it is fully stocked, like, every single day with turkey, Muscle Milk, cereal, you name it. There's so much food in there. And, like, you know, our guys, you know, it's pretty much whatever they want, they get, you know. So, you know, just coming here, it was almost like, you guys know it's not like this, like, everywhere in the country, right?
Thank you. So, preach that to them every single day.
Yeah. So, you know, our guys are pretty spoiled, but, you know, Coach Goff has done an awesome job as far as, you know, not giving them all the gear, you know, up front. You know, they kind of had to earn every single thing that they got. So, you know, he's done really well with that. But, you know, the perspective is just is that, you know, when I was at Kennesaw State and we lost a game, it was, you know, really no one really cared other than the guys in the program. Now it's like we're getting blasted on Twitter, you know? So, you know, it's definitely, you know, a step up and who's watching, you know, as far as practices. Sure. You know, we have, you know, a couple hundred people out there every practice. And, you know, everything is just, it's that much more here in the SEC, I guess you could say. You know, it just means more, you know. But, you know, everything is, you know, it's a lot here. It's a lot. It's a lot. So.
This may be a better question for the end of the season, but Derek, has the game changed? I mean, did you see yourself throughout the fall practice and through the winter and even over your first weekend seeing the game differently, viewing it differently, seeing just maybe based on the fact of the people you're around and their knowledge and expertise that's changed your perspective? But do you see yourself looking at the game differently?
Yes, I am. As you know, before it was just like, you know, let's just kind of hit, you know, let's hit, let's see who can score the most runs, you know.
Right.
Now it's more so like every pitch means something, you know, positioning guys in the outfield, you know, and in the infield as well. But, you know, before it was almost like the not pro ball mentality, but, you know, let's just go out here and play. And too, the game is a little faster. So, you know, there's a little bit more athletes on the field. And you know, I look forward to seeing what all the other teams in the league look like, you know, mm-hmm. because I'm sure it's going to be really fast once we start league play. But, you know, that's pretty much it. You know, there's still the same type of athletes that I had before, but, you know, there's just more of them, you know, if that makes sense.
Sure.
So yeah, but the game definitely is faster.
It's interesting. Dylan, same question. I know it's a big one, but certainly how has your perspective changed on dealing with the players and being in this role, but also the game itself? How do you view it? And again, you got to see pro ball, so maybe it hadn't changed a lot, but certainly getting back to a higher level of Division I baseball, how's your perspective on all that changed in terms of the game itself?
Well, first, I mean, dealing with the players, not being out on the road, getting, you know, you're there for every practice, you're in the office every day, you're around every weekend. You seem to be like, I'm a more consistent figure in the program. You know, I'm not in and out. Not that that's a bad thing or that I wouldn't welcome that opportunity again, but it does allow me to have a different relationship with the guys on campus and probably at least just as strong, if not just a little bit stronger than I was able to have in my recruiting role. Especially when the guys are on campus for the first time and they're going through, you know, they're away from home for the first time, you know, and they're dealing with all these major things going on in their life, maybe even away from the baseball field. And being able to help them through some of those things, it's obviously very gratifying. There's a lot of stuff that happens in this profession that you do not reap the benefits for. There are very, very few pats on the back that go around. And when you can make an impact in a guy's life like that, then it's immediate. Like the gratification is immediate there. As for like the game, yeah, if I came straight from Southeast, it would definitely be a much larger change in perspective. Having my short experience in professional baseball and witnessing how many guys throw 95 or harder, which that number is absolutely ridiculous. it easily makes me wish I had been a pitching coach rather than a hitting coach, but I'm pretty much pot committed at this point. So, you know, it's been the game is faster. It will only get faster because, you know, only a select few from each of our teams are going to get to play, and those are the guys that run faster, throw harder, hit it further, throw it, you know, place it more precisely. Those are the only guys that get to move on. And when you get into pro ball, minor league level, obviously each level you go up, it gets better and better. So we're close. Like, yeah, it's not professional baseball, but at the college level, it's the closest thing to it.
Here's a final question for both you guys, and I think certainly sitting in the position you're in, you're both not old by any stretch of the imagination, but certainly there is a 22, 23-year-old guy out there just getting into coaching that was in the exact same position you guys were when you first got started. And this could even be for you looking back at yourself 10 years ago, but if you could, what advice would you offer for young assistants? Dylan, I'll let you kick this off, that just might help them, you know, learn from your experience or give them some advice, would put them on the right path sooner than maybe if they didn't know it. So what advice would you give those young assistants?
That's typically the same exact question I ask anybody, you know, anyone that I look up to or simply know is better at my, you know, better at this job than I am. It's typically my first go-to question. I remember, I think the first time I asked it, it was at the Nashville, it was probably a Nashville convention years ago. And let's see, the advice was to keep a notebook and basically carry a notebook with me everywhere I go. I have a handful of notebooks that, you know, are basically chronicling the last, whatever, maybe 7 years of my coaching career. Things like ideas that might pop into my head at 2 a.m. and I know if I don't write it down, I'm not going to remember it in the morning. Or, you know, if I'm at a game and I see something and you know, another team's taking pregame this way, and I think it's a great idea, I'll jot it down. But basically making sure I can recall anything that I find noteworthy. So that was the first piece of advice, and I've actually stuck with that ever since, kind of getting with Steve at Southeast. One thing that we do every year is we set goals for the team, and I think a lot of teams, you know, a lot of programs do. But Steve actually has the coaches on staff set goals, and then we basically turn them into him, and he helps us be accountable to achieving those goals. And so from a coach's development standpoint, just I'm very lucky to be on staff under Coach Beezer and that he's willing to do his part in grooming us for future positions, whether it's as assistants in another program or as head coaches of another university. And so typically the things that I'm trying to achieve, you know, with my goals, obviously being as consistent as possible, you know, some guys that, you know, Sheets with Jan Weisberg and, Keith Madison, you know, one of my first goals I can remember was, you know, as a young assistant, I was pretty inconsistent with, I was too excited and maybe a little too negative, and would ride that roller coaster, that emotional roller coaster, and look into those guys for advice because I thought that through their coaching careers, they were great examples of consistency. Mm-hmm. And so looking to them and finding ways, and I think it's different for all of us, but basically getting, you know, what we ask for our players, having routines. You know, whether it's reading something 5 minutes before you go out to practice every day to put you in the right state of mind, which I think, you know, that was one of Coach Madison's piece of advice. And so I've stuck with that to make sure that I'm going out there and I'm not upset with the two personal issues you know, individual issues that maybe a kid had or two kids had that I had to deal with that morning. And I'm, obviously the rest of the team doesn't know about that. They wouldn't know why I would be upset. So, resetting and getting out there so it can be a productive day. And then I think another big thing, and this probably comes from Jeff Albert with the Houston Astros, who is my minor league hitting coach, and just simply, and it's simple, but read and read anything and everything that you can. I think the information is out there, but so many times we take things for face value. And I guess it was just because I didn't have the pro ball experience, and it was probably because of my insecurities going in and not really being sure how, you know, professional baseball players would accept me, if they would respect me or even listen to me as a coach. I felt like I had to be able to explain why for everything that I was doing. Felt like if I was going to teach it, I needed to be able to prove it. And so I kind of have been on a mini crusade, I guess, with that in mind. And so maybe I continue to do things that I've always done, but now I actually know why it works or why that's beneficial. And through some, through this search, obviously I've made some adaptations to things that I've always done, because I now realize that it's not correct, but it's simply because I wasn't afraid to read, this article or this book or this scientific paper. You can learn from a lot of different things. Don't be afraid to reach out to people who are experts in other areas of life, and you'd be surprised about how many will actually respond to an email or return a phone call. And I know that that's a long answer to what you asked, but I think all of those things have been extremely beneficial to me as a coach, have helped me feel more confident as a coach, which in turn has allowed me to have better and deeper relationships with the players. So it does come full circle.
That's terrific. And Derek, same question, man. Advice for young guys that are out there. What do you wish you knew there at 23 getting into coaching at CMU, that if you knew now, again, you kind of would be in a different realm, but certainly what advice would you offer those guys?
Well, the first thing, don't show up at 12 o'clock, on the first day of the day.
You mean it's not volunteer, like true volunteer?
Definitely don't show up at 12 o'clock for sure. But, my head coach at Kennesaw State, Mike Sansing, his biggest thing was relationships with the players. And he did an unbelievable job with those guys. And so, I guess a couple things that I would tell aspiring coaches is just that, get to know the players first, or I should say, know the person first and then the player. Mm-hmm. Say that guy, a player, he comes to the field and he's upset, don't just go after him as a player, talk to him and see what's going on with his life. Because a lot of kids, they have a lot of stuff and things that come up. And I think that us as coaches, we have to know the person first and then the player. I think that's why I love recruiting so much, is because of the relationships. And, you get to meet different people. So, I would say, for sure, get to know every single player as a person. And then two, be able to speak your mind. If you have a new idea, with the other coaches in the meeting room, whatever, share your ideas. Don't be afraid. And if you don't agree with something, let the other coaches know in a respectful way. Mm-hmm. I think that's what makes our staff so great, is that, you know, we have a lot of great minds and a lot of really good ideas, but at the same time, you know, we're very, very respectful to one another. And, you know, we might argue in the meeting room, but, you know, we leave it there, you know. So, you know, I would say, you know, just speak your mind and always have new ideas and be ready to adapt. You know, Coach Wells is our hitting guy, and you know, I'm a hitting guy as well, but, you know, he's running the show, and, you know, I had a lot of different ideas, and, you know, I didn't agree with him, you know, with a lot of things at first, but I was able to adapt. And now, you know, every day we're on the same page about new hitting ideas, you know, and I learned from him just always evolving as a coach and never staying, you know, where you're at. You know, so those are the things that I would tell myself, you know, when I was younger, you know, always evolve as a coach, really get to know the player, and, you know, always speak your mind.
Love it. You guys are studs. You're rock stars. I'm so thankful we could find the off day, you know, post first weekend and get you guys on this Calls from the Clubhouse podcast. What I also love about this is, you know, connecting guys. And if for the listeners out there, you know, these guys didn't know each other before the call. They've been grouped together through text. And then I look at the calendar, March 17th, 18th, 19th, you guys open up SEC play against each other. So what I know is going to happen is there's going to be some brotherly love coming across the field, and you guys are going to get a nice
Absolutely.
Hug. And it's because of this podcast. And that's what this is about, man. Connecting great guys in our game. You guys are living the same life. You should obviously be definite friends, but also guys that you can lean on moving forward. And we're thankful that you guys are loyal ABC members. So we wish you guys all the best this year. Derek Simmons, University of Alabama, Dylan Lawson, University of Missouri, guys, go win some games. We appreciate your time. We look forward to catching up with you soon.
No doubt, Sheets. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Sheets. This was a great time. I appreciate it.
We are working hard to hit our coaches from every single angle that we can, and it was great to unpack the ins and outs of this volunteer assistant position within our coaching staffs. Big thanks to Derek Simmons from Alabama, Dylan Lawson from Missouri. The guys took time out of their schedule to sit down with us for the show, and I think there's some terrific takeaways from this interview. Love the responsibility they've both taken on there, the fact they're in there getting their hands dirty, helping those coaching staffs, but seeing the real opportunity there, serving in the volunteer role, taking what would be perceived as a step backwards, but there's certainly been vertical leaps for both those guys joining the staffs there at Alabama and Missouri. So great stuff. We wish Derek and Dylan and both of their clubs the very best this season and moving forward. And as always, another huge thanks to AstroTurf for their sponsorship of our Calls from the Clubhouse podcast. Very appreciative of their support. We hope each of you guys look into the tremendous things that are going on over there. They've been leading the turf industry for over 50 years now. So if you're interested, go check them out at astroturf.com. Find out how you can take your program, your facility, to the next level. So thanks again to the guys over at AstroTurf. Now let's go through the rundown, coaches. First, we want to make sure you're up to speed on all the previous shows that we've put out, but staying up to date on our new releases, and there's a few different ways you can go about this. So here we go. One way, stay tuned to our website, abca.org. There's a resources tab at the top. If you click on that, Calls from the Clubhouse podcast link will be right there waiting for you. Click and you can scroll through all those great content, the great guests we've had on the show. You can also subscribe to the show on your iPhone or your Android device. And every week we put a brand new episode out. It'll show up on your phone. You just pop in the earbuds, you plug it into the car, and you're ready to roll. Also, our Twitter account, at ABCA1945. We always release these episodes on Tuesdays. You'll see that post. But then follow us during the week, and we're going to take quotes from the podcast. There's links to hear the show. Make sure we're getting that out for our coaches. And remember, this is all about connecting you with the very best baseball minds in our game. We're just working hard to deliver on tremendous insight and content. So again, stay tuned, dialed in to our show. If you're looking at next week, Monday, March 6th, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, is our next hashtag ABCA chat.
We hope you're making plans to join us. We're going to be talking about coaching staff dynamics on the chat. We've got coaches from all over the world that check in, answering our questions with their insight, and it's a perfect opportunity to network with coaches from all over. You can retweet, like all this great coaching information that's flying around, and it's very simple to get into. Search hashtag ABCA chat on your phone or on your computer. Click on latest. Boom, you're in. And we post questions every 5 to 10 minutes. The can't miss opportunity to grow yourself as a coach across every single front. So again, hashtag ABCA chat coming at you Monday, March 6th, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to seeing each of you guys check in with us. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at ABCA1945. You'll see all the great things we're doing as an association. You can also find me on there as well at CoachSheets3, or you can reach me directly by email, Sheets, S-H-E-E-T-S, at ABCA.org. Coaches, we love the tweets that are coming at us. You guys are giving your impressions and takeaways from the podcast, how impactful the hashtag ABCA chats have been, but we love getting the tremendous things you and your teams are out there doing with your programs. Please tweet at us, email us, reach out to us so we can know what's going on. We look forward to connecting with each of you real soon. And one more thing, if we're talking about the ABCA, we cannot miss the opportunity to talk about the membership into the baseball coaches fraternity here at the ABCA. It's $45, guys. It is the best investment you'll make into your coaching career. And again, you can join over 8,000 coaches worldwide that think that exact same point. So if you want more information, head over to our website, abca.org. You can check out that extensive list of membership benefits, see all the great things we're doing for our coaches, and remember, it's all for you. So thanks again for listening in, coaches. Until next week, share this podcast with anybody and everybody you can. Spread the great word about the ABCA and what we're doing for our coaches. And we look forward to watching you grow, keep developing, and we wish you and your club the very best. And thank you for what you're doing for the game of baseball.